It has been almost 5 years since I last ranked Taylor Swift albums. The last time I approached this mammoth, gargantuan task was before Red TV came out. So I have three TVs on all of their accompanying vault tracks and three brand new albums that need to get ranked. How did this video idea come about? Well, my video editor, Tyler, was watching this alleged video from 2021. I haven't seen it, don't care to watch it, of mine. And he said that it was egregious and outrageous.
Long live, it's okay. Long live is kind of corny to me. And any song that's written for the agency is like a song that I am just not going to take seriously.
So I thought that I would just redo it today with all of the new information and material that we have. I'm gonna stick to the same categories that I had before so that we can make it as fair as possible. And I'm interested to see where everything's gonna land. But before we get any further into today's video, I have two things I would love to tell you about. First of all, Evolution of the Snake, we're going back on the road. We're going on tour in the United States and Canada. This summer, the Showgirl Experience, go to evolutionofthesnake.com to get tickets. And you need to come and hang out with us, because who knows when we're going to tour again. We've been doing a lot of touring. It's going to be time for a break after this. So make sure you come and see the Showgirl Experience. We're really excited to talk all things Showgirl, say the things that we haven't been able to say in public, and kiki with all of you. The other thing I want to let you know is that Swiftologist is now available as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcasts. This has been a big ask for a long time. People have been saying, I want to listen to your videos when I'm on a walk, but I can't because I don't have YouTube Premium and I don't want it, and I want to consume this like a podcast. So I've decided that it is time to make your wishes come true. It would mean the world to me if you guys would go to those platforms, rate me 5 stars, leave me a little review. All of my videos from here on out will be going onto this podcast, so you can hear it there as well if you're out and about. I have put some of my best hits up there already. All the How to Murder Your Careers pretty much are uploaded, so you can go and listen to those as podcasts, kind of the way God intended them to be heard, like little radio shows, but everything's going to be going there. So if that's another place you'd like to stream my content, please do. I've got my second matcha of the day here. I feel like I've underestimated what a task this is going to be, and so I'm glad that you're here with me along for the ride. Let's just get right into it, shall we? I'm going to be using the exact same categories that I used 4 years ago, and if I feel like it at the end, I might go and look at my original ranking and see how it compares to now. Tyler seemed to suggest that it was kind of salaciously different from where I would put things these days, so I don't know. I haven't watched it, don't really care to. So She Is the Moment to me. I'm looking at this as like my personal favorites category. Like, these are my divas. These are the Taylor Swift songs that I wouldn't be the person I am today without. This is not an objective ranking. This is entirely subjective. This is all to my taste, okay? I'm not trying to give a fair shot to songs that have good lyrics but bad production. No, no. This is the Swiftologist's ranking, okay? If you're upset with it, I feel like you should just go and do your own ranking somewhere else. Okay, next, absolute banger. This is the second category tier. It is the one that I think, you know, is the runner-up. She's the diva in training. Now, this might be a song that I love and have always loved, but it's not in my personal Taylor Swift canon. You see? And there, I think there's actually gonna be quite a lot of things in that category. Then we have respectable bop. Now, a respectable bop is something that I like. I do like it. It's not something I would ever skip, but it probably isn't something that I would gravitate towards all the time. It's okay. That's like a step down. So a step down, it doesn't PMO too bad, but I'm not really choosing her. Then we get into the skip categories. I don't know her means I don't wanna talk about her and I wanna kill her. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? So without further ado, let's just get right into it. We'll start with debut, of course, a very good place to start. Tim McGraw, absolute banger is kind of where I wanna put it. I mean, Tim McGraw, there would be no Taylor Swift without Tim McGraw. It's such a difficult one to rank. And also I think it's one of her best written songs ever. But again, this is not the best written song ranking. This is the Swiftologist personal canon ranking. So Tim McGraw is an absolute banger. Is it in a She Is the moment for me? I don't know. And I'm also, you know, as I'm looking at this, I'm like, am I ranking with historical insight in mind? Like, am I thinking about songs that maybe meant a lot to me, like really a lot to me when I was younger, but don't necessarily mean so much to me now? I think that might be more interesting to do rather than just what I'm streaming currently, because that would just be Torture Poets. It would just be Torture Poets and She Is the Moment. Okay, Picture to Burn. Respectable bop. Who doesn't love the original homophobic version of Picture to Burn? I think we all love Picture to Burn. Teardrops on My Guitar, She Is the Moment. I can't even envision how I would have connected with Taylor Swift if I didn't have Teardrops on My Guitar. This is her thesis statement as an artist. If I had to pick one song in her entire discography that described her the best, this is the song that I would pick. It is so amazing that she created this when she was 16 years old. She's the smartest person in the world. A Place in This World, I don't know her. Now, I'm not going to put her, and I want to kill her because there's her twin on this album that is going to go there. But I have always thought that A Place in This World was busted. Even when I was busted, I thought that this was busted. So it's a pretty consistent affair we've had. Cold as You, that's an interesting one because when I was 16, this was everything to me. Or younger even, when I was 13, 14, 15, whenever I encountered this for the first time, so maybe 12 even. I love this song. For a long time, you know, when we just had three track fives to talk about, people were always saying Cold as You is the dark horse. Madeline, this was her favorite song for a long time. I find it a bit overwrought and funny when I listen to it now. It's a little bit silly. You would have told nobody if I died for you. Meanwhile, this is high school that we're talking about. So I'm going to leave her there. The Outside. The Outside is a song that meant a lot to me when I didn't have friends in middle school. It didn't last for very long, but there was a period of time where I didn't have friends in middle school, and it left a big impression on me. Like Taylor Swift. Like Taylor Swift. Doesn't matter how popular you get later in your life. If you have even one lunch alone in middle school, it wounds you forever. I would say that I've kind of solved that wound, unlike Taylor Swift. But I think that The Outside, oh, I don't know, it meant so much to me. I'm going to put it in She Is the Moment because it's important to my personal story. And people are always asking me, like, what are your favorite Taylor Swift songs, but also why? Like, a lot of people don't know why Holy Ground is my favorite song. And I think something I've never done is really talked about my personal connection to Taylor Swift songs. I was thinking of doing a, like, Taylor Swift, my life through Taylor Swift songs, like, songs that meant a lot to me at different stages and why. But then I was like, ooh, I would be revealing too much about myself. So maybe I'll just give you a little bit of that here. So The Outside has got to go and She Is the Moment for historical purposes. Tied together with a smile, it's okay. You're tied together with smile. It's going to be really hard not to do impressions here. But again, this is one of those ones that just hasn't aged too well. This goes into the category of her writing really insane fan fiction. If you were not in the Taylor Swift debut demos, you don't understand the kind of derangements that she was cooking with. She was doing 9/11 songs. She literally did a song about 9/11. She did a song about a girl with childhood cancer. Like, it was crazy. I mean, it was amazing to see her being so imaginative at such a young age. And it actually proves that folklore seeds were always there. She was always writing from different people's perspectives. So great. As an example of that, it's amazing, but I'm not streaming it currently. Stay Beautiful, respectable bop. Corey's eyes are like a jungle. He smiles, it's like the radio. Does it make any sense? Well, no, but is it the greatest thing I've ever heard? Yes. Should Have Said No, absolute banger. What else can you do? This was like the OG angry Taylor. I think people forget that for a lot of her early career, her public image was very much about being nice. Being vengeful was only like a 10 or 15% part of her public image, and it was always presented in a way that was very righteous. There wasn't a lot of like rage, goth punk female rage moments, as she might call them now. And Should Have Said No was a moment of rage, and it couldn't be hidden, and it couldn't be disguised. Mary Song, my, I want to kill her. I hate this song. I've always hated this song. I've never liked it. I don't care that it is also one of the seeds of folklore. I don't care. It doesn't do anything for me. My ears bleed when I hear. Yeah, that's right. Our song, She Is the Moment. She Is the Moment. This is the first Taylor Swift song I ever heard, and it's how I fell in love with her. I saw the Our Song music video, and I said, where the f*** that live at? Where does she live? I want to go there. Whatever town this is, Taylor Swift really formed my impression of what America would be like. Let me tell you, I was surprised when I arrived and it was not like that. I was like, where are the porches? Me in Yonkers, New York. Where are the porches? Not there. Every time I hear this song, it puts a huge smile on my face. It is just one of the greatest Taylor Swift songs ever made. I'm smiling thinking about it. It really is so adorable, so cute. It's also just such a well-written pop song. Pop song. It's country pop. This is her first crossover hit, her first number one on the country Hot 100. Hello. It's a really historically pivotal moment in her career. And it also shows that she was always a pop star, like from the beginning. Doing country was kind of an easy way into doing pop because she didn't have the raw materials to be going straight pop in 2006. She couldn't. And she wanted to write. So it was really important that she had the country lead in. But her inclinations and her instincts have always been so pop. I always say that Britney Spears was as much a sonic influence for Taylor Swift from the start as Shania Twain. She just didn't mention her as much. I'm Only Me When I'm With You. Ugh, it's okay. This is one of those songs that we were really obsessed with on Tumblr, like back in the day. You and your friends, like, I love this song, me and my best friends. And sure, we were all really excited when it got a tour video, but I could care less. To be really honest with you. Invisible, respectable bop. I love Invisible. Invisible, I think, is one of the dark horses of Taylor Swift debut, it kind of is a better version of The Outside, if I'm being honest. The Outside is one of the oldest songs that exists on debut. She was really, really, really young when she wrote The Outside. She was like 14, which I think is why, like, when I was 13 and 14, I was like, this sounds like it was written out of the pages of my diary. But when I examine those two songs side by side now, Invisible is the better song. They're covering the same ground, but they're like different fonts. And Invisible is better, but it's the personal canon. A Perfectly Good Heart, I Want to Kill Her. I hate this song. I don't have a good reason for you. I think it's busted. I think it's dumb. I don't like it. It hurts my feelings when I hear it. It is, if I got this as a surprise song, I would sit down. Yeah, not my favorite. And also, like, when you live with these songs, I've lived with this album for 20 years now. I know what I like. I know what I don't like. And it's not changing, unfortunately. There will be no reassessment of A Perfectly Good Heart. Now, could debut Taylor's version change anything? I don't know. It hasn't happened yet. Probably not, but maybe. Fearless, she is the moment. She is the moment. Oh my God, Fearless is actually just like Our Song to me in that, like, there are a handful of Taylor Swift songs that can bring me to tears based on nostalgia alone. Nostalgia for who I was when I heard these songs and nostalgia for who Taylor was when she wrote these songs and meant so much to me in a completely different way than she does now. So Fearless, the Eras Tour version of Fearless. It's not even a different version. It's just the fact that it was included on the Eras Tour and the joy and the jubilance that I felt every single time I heard it. It was one of my favorite parts of the Eras Tour. I've always loved Fearless, but the Eras Tour really put it into a different dimension for me. It's the hand heart, it's the twirl, it's the cinematic vision that is being depicted on the chorus. Like, it's just a beautiful song. And I have to give her her flowers. 15. Absolute banger. Yeah, I think it has to go in an absolute banger. This song was very important to me. I needed to hear it. I needed to hear this song. In your life, you'll do things greater than dating the boy on the football team. I found time can heal most anything, and you just might find who you're supposed to be. These are words that I needed when I was 15. And you know what I realized is that the 15-year-olds that are obsessed with Taylor now, they don't care about the song. It doesn't mean anything to them. They're streaming Elizabeth Taylor. They're streaming Honey and saying, this is my favorite song ever. Girls, I have some sacred texts for you. I have some Bible verses that you need to hear because it will reinstate your belief in God. And 15 is one of them. So I don't know, maybe the kids of today are like too stupid to hear 15 and understand what it is. It's actually a really long song. I listened to it again the other day and it's like 5 minutes long. This is back in the day when every song was 5 minutes long. I miss that. But 15, the wisdom that she had to deliver us. She was always wise for her age. Taylor is an old soul, always has been. And this song was a crucial, crucial manual. Love Story, absolute banger. Is it going to go into my She Is The Moment? It probably should. It probably should because I love this song. But with the singles, it's so hard to be like, this is one of my all-time favorite Taylor Swift songs just because I've been exposed to it so much over the years. If I'm picking between Love Story and You Belong With Me, what am I picking? I don't have to. This is a completely self-inflicted task. If I had to pick, I think I would pick Love Story, you know? I think I would. Love Story is really where it all began. I feel like my glasses were reflecting the glare too much, so I took them off. If I read something wrong, that's because I'm blind. Okay, glad that we sorted that out. Love Story is gonna stay an absolute banger for now. I'm just gonna leave it there. Hey, Steven, She Is The Moment. This song, songs that can make me cry at the drop of a hat. Hey, Steven. A lot of my early connections to Taylor Swift was about me having crushes on boys that I couldn't tell anyone about because I didn't want to come out and I was scared. And so I couldn't tell my friends, I couldn't tell my family. I couldn't even really say the words out loud to myself. I wouldn't even write them down in a journal because I was too scared for anyone to know. My only way to experience the joy of that experience and that sensation instead of just the terror of being found out or the fear of being different from other people, the only way I could really tap into what it might feel like to openly love someone or try and be in love with someone as a young person was by listening to Taylor Swift songs. Getting emotional just thinking about it now. Hey, Steven is one of those songs. Hey, Steven is about being brave enough to really write a song about someone. All those other girls, they're beautiful, but would they write a song for you? The gall of that. Taylor got to be brave in ways that I never could be. And that's why a lot of these songs are so deeply important to me. And Hey, Steven is one of those. It is a gay-coded song, I'm telling you. That does not mean gayler, okay? That does not mean Gaylor, different things. White Horse, It's Okay. This was one of those ones, I mean, it was a track five, we were obsessed, blah, blah, blah. But really 15 should have been the track five on Fearless. Can we have that conversation? Let's open the case. I mean, White Horse is a follow-up to Love Story in a sequence of singles. Like, I get it from a storytelling perspective, but as I've aged, I'm less tuned into White Horse. I think there are better songs. You Belong With Me, absolute banger. Where else can it go? Where else can it go? I mean, it could go in She Is the Moment, but it's not going to. Maybe I'll revisit that later. Probably not. Breathe featuring Colby Clay. I'm putting that straight into She Is the Moment. Now, this was one of those songs that I loved because I felt like I could actually relate to the experience she was talking about. With Hey Steven, I could project and be like, oh my God, I would love it if I could do that, but I couldn't, right? It was a secret. But with Breathe, that was about losing a friend. The Gaylors would tell you different, but don't listen to them. Breathe is about losing her fiddle player that played with her at the very beginning of her career and replacing her with Caitlin. And I can't breathe without you, but I have to. It's 2 a.m. feeling like I just lost a friend. When you're in middle school, it's 2 a.m. and you feel like you just lost a friend. That was an experience that I could literally copy paste onto my life. I didn't have to do any magical thinking to like invent it to be about me. So I connected with this so hard. And I also think this is an underrated, beautiful Taylor Swift song. Speaking of underrated Taylor Swift songs, Tell Me Why, She Is the Moment. Oh my God. Fearless is kind of everything, girls. She really is. And there's such a wide range of emotions displayed here. But again, the rage, the female rage that leapt out of this. This is one of those ones where Taylor, I think a lot of the time in her early career, she got critiqued for being too passive when she was talking about her relationships, singing about being passive, waiting for things to happen to her. Does the Tell Me Why narrator sound like someone who's waiting to be told that she's been wronged? I'm sick and tired of your attitude. I'm feeling like I don't know you. You tell me that you love me, then push me around. And the Taylor's version somehow goes even crazier than the original. A rare case. You're not sorry. I don't know her. No, I loved the song for a minute when I was like 13. And ever since, I've just found it's kind of stupid. I think it's kind of a nothing burger of a song. I know people ride for it, but you could say that about any Taylor Swift song. The Way I Loved You, I'm going to put this in Respectable Bop. This is another, the way that I've hyperfixated on one of these songs at one point or another. Like I've literally, one of these songs has been my number one Taylor Swift song pretty much at some point throughout my life. So it's very difficult to be like, this is the tip top ones. But my tip top ones, I'm really sure. When I look at them, I know that they're supposed to be there. Forever and Always, that's another one. Oh, I was there when you said Forever and Always. When I learned to play the guitar, goodbye to my neighbors. God bless, because I was banging and I was screaming forever and always. Whenever I was mad, whenever I was pissed, I was there when you said forever and always. It rains in your bedroom, everything is wrong. I actually love that image too. It rains in your bedroom, everything is wrong. It rains when you're here and it rains when you're gone. Beautiful, so writerly. Taylor's early stuff is like very literary. She's such an imagistic writer. Is that even a word? I don't know. The Best Day. She Is the Moment. You want some lore? You want some lore about the Swiftologist? Okay, I'll give you some lore. So I did go through a phase of playing the guitar and singing, unfortunately. That didn't last. But there was one time that I had this open mic thing at my school and I invited my mom to come and watch it. This is when I was like 14, maybe 15. And she had never heard this song before. And I played it and I dedicated it to her. And I'm very close to my mom. We have a very close relationship. It's actually like not dissimilar to Taylor and Andrea's relationship. And my mom bawled her eyes out. She still bawls her eyes out whenever she hears this song. It's become mine and my mom's song rather than it being Taylor and Andrea's song. And that is the power of Taylor Swift. Her songs become your songs. They become parts of the fabric that makes up your life. And so that song is so special to me and it will never not be special to me. Change, not special to me, never really has been. I don't know her. I don't want to kill her though. I don't want to kill her. Jump Then Fall. I don't know her, but I'm verging on wanting to kill her just because I think she's kind of useless. Yeah, this is a real, when it came to the Platinum Edition, I was like, you're taking up space. Yeah, take up space. Exactly, but we don't want you to. Untouchable, absolute banger or Respectable Bop? Absolute banger, I think. The fact that this is someone else's song and the original version of this song is so crazy. It's literally like a heavy metal song. I don't know how Taylor found this song or why she decided she wanted to reinterpret it, but I know why. She saw the lyrics written down on paper and said, yes, untouchable like a distant diamond sky. I want that in my catalog. And she transformed it so much, they gave her retroactively a writing credit. She was a teenager, a mere teenager. The way the hand heart is leaping out. All you gotta do is get me really into the canon and I'm hand hearting. Come In With The Rain. Another song that I loved, a yearning, pining song. This is for the gays hoping to get noticed by your straight crush at school. It is. Where am I going to put it? Respectable Bop. I think there's something about it that it takes a little while to get going. And so I don't revisit it so much. Whereas Untouchable, I actually listen to that a fair bit. Superstar, absolute banger. I think Taylor's version of Superstar is one of her least played songs. Why? We don't know. The Taylor's version, first of all, is really good. Second of all, Superstar is such a good song. It's a creepy song. It's literally a song that a stalker would write about the person they're stalking, but it's about looking at a poster on your wall and wanting to be with that person. That's such a classic canonical teen girl experience. And it happened to Taylor. She saw the Jonas Brothers poster on her wall, and then she got to date the guy in the poster. That's what's so pew about Superstar. Really, it was the beginning of like life imitating art for her, or art imitating life. Love that. Gorgeous. Never been done before. The Other Side of the Door. Absolute banger. Absolute banger. If you can't do that outro in one breath without taking a beat, you're wrong. You're not a Swiftie. And that's on period. But even Taylor couldn't do it. In the Taylor's version, there's a very obvious part where it's been stitched together. But the funny thing about The Other Side of the Door is that it's like a completely normal song, almost on Jump Then Fall level of quality. And then it gets to that outro and it's crazy. If you're walking along with me in my dream, it's actually the prequel to If This Was a Movie. Mm-hmm. If you really think about it, if you let it sink in, you know exactly what I mean. Today was a fairy tale. She is the moment. This is one of those songs that I think people are always so surprised to hear that I ride for and that I'm a shooter for. I don't care that you think it's corny. Today was a fairy tale. I wore a dress. You wore a dark gray t-shirt. And what about it? Let's open the case. If you have never felt this magic in the air, that's a personal problem that you should keep to yourself. I've said that many times and I will say it again. Today Was a Fairy Tale is just, it's one of those songs. It's like Fearless and Our Song and Hey Steven. When I hear it, it puts a smile on my face and it reminds me of a version of Taylor that I find so sacred and so precious and will always live up here and that I got to glimpse again at the Eras Tour. This is why the Eras Tour was so special. Yeah. You All Over Me featuring Maren Morris. I don't know her. I don't really want to kill her because You All Over Me was a known entity to those of us in the fandom that were there before Fearless actually came out. You All Over Me was a demo from the debut writing sessions. And what PMO about literally all of the Fearless Taylor's version vault tracks is that they're not really written for Fearless. They're written for debut. And the one song that actually was written for Fearless is Mr. Perfectly Fine. I kind of want to put her in She Is the Moment. Why? Because this was the first song that I heard from the vault that felt like a voice from the grave. And the most successful vault tracks to me are songs that immediately put me back into the version of Taylor that it's calling back to with no hesitation, with no feeling of, oh, I didn't need to hear this, or I see why this was kept off the record. There's no reason why Mr. Perfectly Fine should have been kept off the record. There's no reason. I think probably it was a little bit overkill with Forever and Always and Mr. Perfectly Fine, but I'm obsessed with Mr. Perfectly Fine. And when I heard it, I said, this little Taylor's version thing, yeah, it's going to be huge. And she pushed You All Over Me instead of Mr. Perfectly Fine as like the single, the first vault track. Missed opportunity. But we know she can't pick singles. We know that. We Were Happy. I kind of want to kill her, actually. I kind of want to kill We Were Happy. I've never really liked We Were Happy. The demo, the original vocals, I implore you to seek that out and listen to it if you haven't already. It's one of the most awful things I've ever heard in my life. It is like truly astoundingly bad, which actually makes me like it a bit more, but I'm not streaming and I don't want to listen to it. That's when it's okay. That used to be one of my favorite outtakes, like before Keith Urban got on it, before it was a vault track. I would listen to this on my little iPod in my rare Taylor Swift songs folder. I would stream, but I don't return. I don't return. Don't you? I don't know her. I don't care. Bye Bye Baby. Originally called something else. I can't remember what it was called before Bye Bye Baby, but it was called something else. Not one of my favorites. So there you have it. That's the first two albums. Great. Now we're on to the greatest album ever made, Speak Now. Speak Now might be the Taylor Swift album that I have the most emotional connection to. Red is my favorite, but I love Red for a combination of personal and objective reasons. Speak Now is me. I am Speak Now. Je suis Speak Now. I was born, my first name was Speak, my last name was Now. And this album just came, when did it come out? I was 2011, so I was like 15. I needed every single song on this album to be in my life. I would not be theologist that I am or the writer that I am, to be frank. I don't talk about that a lot, but Taylor has had such an impact on me as a writer in phrasing, in attention to detail, in specificity, and Speak Now has that in spades. It's her best written album, and I don't care what anybody wants to say about it. Clears Folklore by a country mile. Mine, She Is the Moment. It's going to be really hard not to put every song from this album into She Is the Moment. Mine, such a beautifully well-executed story that's being told. It's like Love Story grown-up version. If you really think about it, it follows the same formula as Love Story, and the vocals on it are crazy. I remember when I heard it, I was like, oh, so she's writing. Uh-huh. She's not doing, you could see that I'm the one who understands you. She's not doing that. She's doing something more profound. She's doing something more adult. And this was also the start of her growing up. There's a drawer of my things in your place, hinting that I spent the night. That was scandalous to us at the time, okay? This is also when she started wearing red lipstick, and there was a revolution about that too. So mine, very important. Sparks Fly, absolute banger. It almost went into She Is the Moment, but I've softened on it as the years have gone on. I don't know what it is. I feel like Taylor's version kind of broke it for me a little bit, but the most iconic opening to a tour ever in the history of the world. The Speak Now tour might be my favorite Taylor tour. I mean, I know I say Eras tour, everything, blah, 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 but in terms of execution of a show, a theme, start to finish, Speak Now tour. Back to December. I'm So Glad You Made Time to See Me. Absolute banger. Beautiful song. Her first I'm Sorry, Maybe I'm the Problem song. That's what everybody, all the memes, the prehistoric Taylor Swift memes were saying. When's she gonna write a song called Maybe I'm the Problem? And then she came out and gave it. And there it is, Back to December. This is one of those songs that I fixated on for a really long time. This, for a long time, I would have told you this was my favorite song from Speak Now. And I probably stopped saying that 10 years ago. So right when it came out. Genius. Genius. Wait, no, I was older then. Ugh. Oldologist. Never mind. Speak Now, title track. Respectable bop, because you know what? I don't skip it when it comes on, and it's fun. For a long time, like when there just weren't that many Taylor songs in the discography to hate, Speak Now was the one that I was like, no, flop, boring, hate. But I can't say that now. Dear John, She Is the Moment. That taught me how to do a clapback. There would be no Justin Tranter response video without me understanding how to use someone's words, actions, vibes against them. And Dear John is such a master class in taking your power back. First person narration, the diaristic quality of Speak Now is something that we don't discuss enough. And I could just rant and rave about how good of a song Dear John is, but know that it's in my personal canon. Mean, again, the 11-year-old me that was bullied in middle school loved this song, but once I got over that, I don't care. It's a little bit hypocritical. It's kind of funny. It's corny. It's very dated. It's of its time. I would say this is the least mature song on Speak Now other than my least favorite song, which we will get to. The Story of Us, absolute banger. Really hard not to put it in She Is the Moment because I was obsessed with this song. And you know what? You can apply this song to many situations. It doesn't have to be romantic context. Silent Treatment. That was a tool that me and my friends used against each other in high school so much, just ignoring each other for days on end instead of communication or conflict resolution. And by ignore, I mean sitting next to each other at lunch with all of our other friends in silence, telling our other friends to tell each other things, like that kind of behavior, not replying to texts. I learned that from Taylor Swift. Thank you, Miss Petty. Never Grow Up, respectable bop. That song also, I feel like she was trying to have the best day moment, but the Never Grow Up perspective shifts throughout the songs are actually a little bit confusing. I do love this song though, and the mashup of this and The Best Day have me bawling, as you saw in my Eras Tour reaction. Enchanted, She Is the Moment. Enchanted is always on the verge of dethroning Holy Ground as my favorite Taylor Swift song of all time. The Eras Tour only accelerated that process. When I saw her walking out in that ball gown, immediate tears, immediate, this is everything that I've ever wanted to see in the history of the world and more. Enchanted is the best example of a song where I got to live out a fantasy in my mind that I couldn't live out in the reality of my life, but also I could relate to it too, because Enchanted isn't really about a breakup or a date. It's about just meeting someone once and then inventing this ridiculous, dramatic, like Enchanted is an absurd song. Like it's crazy. You meet someone once and you're saying, please don't be in love with somebody else. Please don't have someone waiting on you. I'll spend forever wondering if you knew, let alone that it's about the guy from Owl City. We forget that. We put that out of our minds. Enchanted did so much for me, and it does so much for me. Even when I listen to it now, I am filled with like a wistful reminiscence. It makes me look back on that time in my life, which was objectively kind of hard, and think about it with a fondness and a tenderness instead of regret. And thank you, Taylor Swift. Better than Revenge. Okay, it would be absurd to put this in She Is the Moment, but I really want to because you know me, I'm messy. I live for drama, always have, always would. I would never back down from an argument. I love to call someone out on their name. Feminism off, better than revenge on. It's always been like that. I feel like it's a little bit too diabolical to put it in She Is the Moment because we are ranking on personal meaning to me today, not objective. I wonder what metric I used in my old ranking video. Did I do it objectively? If I did, then this is gonna be a flop comparison. But I have a feeling I did it based on my personal preferences. Innocent. It's okay. Verging on I Don't Know Her. Innocent has some isolated, really beautiful lyrics. Time turns flames to embers. You'll have new Septembers. Gorgeous. But there is a patronizing element to it. It's not a very good clapback. Taylor rarely misses when she's clapping back at someone. Actually, Romantic and Innocent are the ones where she ends up looking kind of lame. So I can't cheer. Haunted. Absolute banger. Absolute banger. Haunted, again, one of my favorites. I remember I went to the opening night of the Speak Now tour in Singapore, and I was devastated when she didn't play Haunted. I was so certain that it was going to be on the set list because of how crazy it goes. And it was for the American version of the tour, but the Asia Europe busted version that she gave us of 13 songs, one of them not being Haunted, crazy. We also didn't get our song. So I don't think I've ever seen our song live. I don't want to talk about that. That's going to PMO. But Haunted is everything. Last Kiss, She Is the Moment. For a long time, I said, when I was a teenager, I was like, when I am 18 and my parents can't tell me not to do it, I'm getting a tattoo of, you can plan for a change in the weather and time, but I never planned on you changing your mind. First of all, that is the longest tattoo ever. I wanted to get it on my wrist. This was a Tumblr influence decision, obviously. And second of all, that lyric isn't necessarily so personally meaningful to me. I think what I didn't understand about Last Kiss when I became obsessed with it when I was a teenager is that I admired it so much as a moving piece of writing. That's what I love the most about it. It's not that I really connect with it, although I do connect with like feeling stuck on someone and not being able to move on, I suppose. But that's a relation to it that I felt later in my life. When I was younger, really, I just thought the words were so beautiful that I wanted them tattooed on my skin. That's what I meant. That it wasn't like I had some sort of like formative experience that really related to that line. I just thought it sounded so beautiful that I would like to have it on my body to look at forever. And you know what? I'm so glad I don't have that. I'm so glad I don't have that. Long live, She Is the Moment. She Is the Moment. This song meant everything to me. I am scared about what I said about it in my 4 years ago ranking because the Taylor's version has reacquainted me with a lot of these songs in a way that maybe I had forgotten. And Long Live is a song about Taylor and her fans and her band. It's actually really more about her band, but it's been retrofitted to be about her fans. And this, again, was a moment on the Eras Tour that made me sob. Like, this was the moment where phone down, hands in the air, screaming, crying, staring at Taylor, hoping she makes eye contact with me, which she did, mentioned. So Long Live, Long Live, Long Live. That's all I can say. Ours, absolute banger. Absolute banger. Love it. One of her most underwritten love songs. We have a whole sister song episode about it. Listen, Superman, I Want to Kill Her. This is one of my bottom 10 Taylor Swift songs. I hate this song. I think it's so stupid. I think it's so corny. I think it's so over the top, which I can understand how you might be confused that I put Today Was a Fairy Tale and She Is the Moment and Superman and I Want to Kill Her. But Superman just sounds juvenile to me. Today Was a Fairy Tale is romantic. Like, I think it's a very romantic song. And it sounds like the best first date ever. It's like a sister to Fearless. Superman, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear it. Electric Touch, I Don't Know Her. See, I don't even feel strongly enough about her to want to kill her. She's nothing. I don't return. Castle's Crumbling, I do want to kill her. Yep, Castle's Crumbling, I want to kill her. And you know why? Because we knew about the existence of Castle's Crumbling for years. I've known that Castle's Crumbling was a song that was left off of Speak Now since I was 14 years old. When it finally came out, and this is what it was, I was so disappointed. I was so disappointed. That is one of the best titles for a song ever. And it's always those really elegant, romantic titles that she ends up doing something weird with. Like, whatever I thought Castle's Crumbling was gonna be is also what I thought Starlight was gonna be. And Starlight is so not that. And Castle's Crumbling is so not that. When Emma Falls in Love, absolute banger, or a respectable bop. I'm going to put it in respectable bop because I haven't returned to it as much, but it's very Speak Now. It definitely made me feel as though I was back in the Speak Now era when I heard it. I Can See You. I Don't Know Her. It's funny, I gagged when I first heard it, but that was just because it had a beat. Timeless, I Want to Kill Her. I hate this song. It's on par with everything else here. Mary's Song, A Perfectly Good Heart, We Were Happy. Corny. DTM. It's also very juvenile for Speak Now. Like, Speak Now doesn't have a lot of juvenile moments, but Superman and Timeless. Whenever she starts singing about the 40s or the 50s, it's over for me. Or she's 80 years old. I don't want to hear it. Foolish One. It's like Mr. Perfectly Fine. It reacquainted a version of myself that had been dormant for a while that I was so happy to see again. And Taylor sounds so Taylor on this song. She is singing in her big girl voice, but like if you played me that and told me it was recorded in 2010, I would believe you. One of the most effective vault tracks. To me, this is the epitome of what a vault track is. It's so distinctly Speak Now and from the perspective of who she was at that moment and still so relevant to her and to all of us today. Foolish One should really, you know, be the ambassador for the United Nations. Red. Red. God, we're 40 minutes in and 4 albums in. I have a lot to do. I need to be speedier with this. State of Grace. Absolute banger. It is the thesis statement for Red, the opening number. It tells us a lot. It was one of my favorites for a long time. Twin Fire Signs, 4 Blue Eyes, Mosaic Broken Hearts, lots of gorgeous fragments in that song. And just a beautiful, there's actually kind of nothing like State of Grace in her discography. It stands alone. She's never repeated it. It's a true like rock ballad. Very strange and great song. Red, title track, She Is the Moment. I love this song. I love this song! Red is so good. I've loved it from the second I heard it. I feel like it's the perfect blending of pop and country. And also this is the song that changed the way that the album went. Like in the writing process, Red is the song that made Taylor go, oh, I need to get different producers in here to help me because I'm touching on something that is bigger than what I'd been doing so far. Because the first songs that she wrote for Red were All Too Well, I Almost Do, Treacherous, these like maudlin, sad, beautiful, tragic songs. And Red, I think, put her on a different path. And we would be literally, there would be no 1989 without Red the song. Yeah, I said it. Treacherous. Respectable bop. You know what? I used to love Treacherous so much. It just takes me a minute to get into it. It's objectively gorgeous. I like the double chorus. I just am not that moved by it anymore. Sorry. I Knew You Were Trouble. Of all her big hits, I love all her big hits, but I Knew You Were Trouble PMO. I think it's the dubstep. I think it's the goat memes. Like this song, it does too much. It just does too much. It's kind of dated. It's great. It's a banger. Don't get me wrong, but it's just okay. All Too Well, She's the Moment. I mean, this is one of those songs that felt like a private secret that was held by the Swifties. We knew that it was the greatest song ever made and no one else had ever heard it, or so we thought. And then she performed it for us at the Grammys. Before anybody was saying All Too Well is the greatest song that she's ever written, we were saying it. So that song really is for the fans and for Taylor too. It's almost like Long Live in that way. And I mean, look at the expansion that it's undergone. All Too Well. Beautiful. 22, absolute banger. One of her most fun bangers in her entire discography. I think this is really underrated and a really fun moment on the Eras Tour. Great chorus. This is the poppiest song on Red, for sure. This is the most bubblegum, closest to 1989 thing that exists. I Almost Do, She Is the Moment. I love this song. I have always loved this song. I think that I just get such a clear picture of her on a tour bus, writing this song, looking out the window. It's dark. She's thinking about this guy who's sitting in a big leather chair. He's got a tumbler full of whiskey and he's looking wistfully out over a beautiful high rise and thinking, is she gonna call me? And she says, every time I don't, I almost do. And she has to restrain herself. I love it, it's cinematic. We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together. Does this one have to go in She Is the Moment? I can't describe to you how obsessed with the song I was when it came out. Most of the diehard Swifties were really jarred and came around. The second I heard We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, I was like, this is everything I've ever wanted. I didn't even know that Taylor was capable of doing it. Don't forget that before Taylor, I grew up on Avril Lavigne. And one of the big critical comparisons that We Are Never got compared to was Avril Lavigne and Girlfriend. This kind of like shouty, campy, petulant pop rock thing. And Taylor had flirted with it on Speak Now, but distilling it through the Max Martin lens and making it perfectly pop, that catchy, earworm chorus, I remember where I was. I was in the car on the way to my first day of 10th grade, and there was a live stream. She was doing the live stream. It was like 7 a.m. for me. I was watching it in the car. It kept cutting out, and I heard, "We are never, ever getting back together for the first time." I will never forget the Red Live chat. It's one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. That's why me going to the Nashville Secret Session, did you know I went to a secret session? Secret Session mentioned. That's why that was so deeply iconic for me, because that scene of her sitting in that living room and announcing Red changed my life. And so it felt kind of full circle to be there for my secret session. Stay, stay, stay. It's okay. I used to really hate this song. I've softened on it. It's a little charming, but I'm not streaming. The last time, I would have told you a long time ago, this was one of my favorite songs from Red. It still is. I just don't revisit it too much. I think this is another song on Red that is unlike anything in her discography. And I think that the lyricism and also the vocal production is really good. Like, the duetting actually sounds amazing. I think both artists were made very good use of here. So I'm putting an absolute banger. Holy Ground, She Is the Moment. That's my favorite Taylor Swift song of all time. I don't think that's ever going to change unless Enchanted really comes to snatch her wig, which she might. I'm not putting it out of the question. You know me, I'm open to change. But Holy Ground, I don't know if I want to explain why Holy Ground is my favorite song. Maybe I'll keep that one a mystery. Maybe I'll reveal that to you at a later date when I feel like explaining why I personally resonate with that song more than any other song in Taylor Swift's discography. I would just say that in general, I am a nostalgic, melancholic, sometimes bittersweet person. And Holy Ground, to me, is the perfect balance of happy and sad. And I love that. Sad, Beautiful, Tragic, absolute banger. I mean, it's not a banger, but that's the wrong word to use, but one of her most beautiful songs ever. I mean, Bellissima Brava, The Lucky One. I don't know her. The Lucky One has always PMO. It's never really been my favorite. Everything Has Changed. You know what? Absolute banger. I almost put it into She Is the Moment, but I do remember when it first came out being a little bit disappointed. The more I live with it and grow with it, the more beautiful it becomes to me. It's a really stunning song. Dust off your highest hopes. It has some gorgeous lyrics. I also think the melody is so cute and sweet. And a lot of the most affecting parts of Red to me are the parts where she is this wounded bird that is getting her strength back. She's not strong yet. She's not there yet, but she's gonna be okay. Girl who's gonna be okay meme. That's literally what Red is. And Everything Has Changed is the perfect encapsulation of that. And so is Begin Again, which I'm going to put in absolute, do I put absolute banger or She Is the Moment? I'm going to put her in She Is the Moment. It's my ranking. It's my life. I get to choose. Begin Again, also for the same reason that I love Everything Has Changed. She's not okay, but she will be, and she knows that, and she's making every effort to go on living, despite living with a broken heart. I can do it with a broken heart before it was even a thing. Begin Again, also just in terms of like stream of consciousness writing, stunning, perfectly executed. And, you know, this was the second single after We Are Never. It was a bit of a factory reset for those people that got worried after they heard We Are Never. They were like, where's Taylor gone? Begin Again. They were like, she's so back. Starlight, respectable bop. I used to hate her. I was going to put her in absolute banger, but I think I'm being a little dramatic. Starlight is fun. It is fun. I also thought it was going to be something different. When the albums used to leak, I would give myself one or two songs that I would let myself listen to for the leak to satisfy my curiosity. Starlight and I think Everything Has Changed were the songs that I picked from Red, and neither of them were what I was expecting them to be. Starlight especially. I thought Starlight was going to be, I don't know, like a last kiss. I thought it was going to be this like gorgeous romantic song. I'm a Barbie on the boardwalk. Who knows? The Moment I Knew, It's Okay. I would say this song has less grown on me. What's the degrown? Has shrunk on me over the years. It's just a little bit ridiculous. I love the chorus, but that maudlin violin, wah, wah, it's so dramatic. But she's still a diva. Come Back, Be Here, it's okay. I've never really been a huge fan of Come Back, Be Here. And you would say, you're a Haler, aren't you? And I would say, I was, but that still didn't appeal to me. Girl at Home, respectable bop. I love Girl at Home. No one ever wants to let me have that. Why can't I like a bad song? You guys like bad songs all the time. Plenty of you are out here putting Champagne Problems as number one. So why can't I have Girl at Home here? Better Man. Absolute banger. I don't think I could quite. Now, here's the thing. When Better Man first came out by Little Big Town, I was taken immediately. And I knew that that was my Red diva. I knew. I was like, that's between Speak Now and Red. I know that for a fact. And when her demo of it leaked, tears. The demo, by the way, is way better than the Taylor's version that is actually recorded. So I encourage you to seek out the demo of when she actually wrote the song because it's her young voice and I think it's beautiful. So that is God tier to me. Speaking of God tier, Nothing New featuring Phoebe Bridgers. She is the moment. Nothing New was like a cheat code to the Taylor Swift universe. This song told me a lot about Taylor's state of mind when she was making Red that I didn't know necessarily before the Taylor's Version project came to fruition. I think the Red writing process was a lot more tortured, complex, and conflicting than Taylor ever let on for a multitude of different reasons. Her personal heartbreak, first of all, but also the business and professional struggles she was having with Scott Borchetta, the power dynamic that was shifting, her yearning to be different, but also not to alienate her audience. She was in a really precarious spot and Nothing New encapsulates that so beautifully. And also that line, how can a person know everything at 18 and nothing at 22? I felt it on a spiritual level when I heard it for the first time. And I feel the same way about it today. Babe, Respectable Bop. I prefer the Sugarland arrangement of it. I kind of think it goes crazy. And the Taylor's version, What About Your Promises? I don't like that refrain thing, but I actually really like Babe. I think it's fun. Message in a Bottle, It's Okay, I Don't Know Her. It's Okay, I Don't Know Her. Objectively, a very bad song. When people try and like with a straight face convince me that Message in a Bottle is a good song, I have to laugh. It's not, it's really bad. It was the cough she needed to let out before she started actually making the good stuff with Max Martin. And it's kind of iconic in that way. So it can stay and it's okay for that reason. I Bet You Think About Me. Many of you are gonna be upset. I Don't Know Her. I don't like it. It's too honky-tonk. It's silly to me. It's a bit put on. There are some bars. Don't get me wrong. She's spitting some bars, but it's not that interesting. Forever Winter. I'm also not that interested. I understand the subject material. I understand the subject matter. I think we expressed it all better on Ruin the Friendship. No? Yeah, we did. Forever Winter, just, it sounds like a song that she just needed to write for her own peace of mind. It's like a diary entry. It doesn't sound like it was ever really meant to be put on an album, hence why it is a Taylor's version track, a vault track. Keep forgetting the name. Run featuring Ed Sheeran. I don't know her. I don't care enough about her to hate her. I don't know her. The Very First Night, Respectable Bop. She's so cute. I don't seek her out that much, but when she comes on, I'm cheering. I'm doing Irish dancing when I hear it. So thank you, Taylor. All Too Well, the 10-minute version. I think I have to put that in She Is the Moment. I'm putting All Too Well and All Too Well 10 up there because this was the epitome of fan service. I mean, it was like a dream come true. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I would ever get to hear the fabled version of All Too Well. I really was convinced that it wasn't real. And it was just something the fans were badgering her about. And I still think there's an element of having to shove it all together to get it out. But what an incredible moment it was to scream that every night of the Eras Tour. Feel like pure shit, just want her back. How am I 50 minutes in and only halfway through? I'm not even halfway through. I'm at album 5. Welcome to New York. Now this is hard because when 1989 came out, I had just gotten accepted to Sarah Lawrence College, where I would go to college in New York. And it had been my dream to move to New York for so long. And Taylor moved to New York. And I was like, okay, so I know I've made the right decision. And New York is a big part of my story. And when Welcome to New York came out, I was like, this song is literally meant for me. I'm moving to New York halfway across the world for the first time in 6 months. And I am going to play this when the plane lands. And for that reason, I think it kind of has to go and She Is the Moment. When we're talking about canonical Swiftologist songs, I know you might be surprised. I've never talked about it like it's my favorite song in the world, but I have a deep emotional attachment to it. Yeah, I do. Blank Space, absolute banger. I mean, She Is the Moment in the objective sense, but like, is it for me, She Is the Moment? Not in this scenario, because again, we're going on emotions today. We're going off of feeling. Blank Space, greatest song ever made. Do I need to talk about that? No. Style, She Is the Moment. Don't forget that I was a Haler. Don't forget that I was a Haler. As soon as I saw that this was a track title, I knew it was gonna be crazy. I didn't know what the vibe of it was gonna be, but I knew it was gonna be insane. And I think that this is one of her best pop songs ever. For me, when it comes to best Taylor Swift pop song, it's between Cruel Summer and Style. Style is, it's perfect. It's perfect. I could listen to it over and over again and never get tired. Out of the Woods. There was a long period of time where the only two songs that I had from 1989 were Out of the Woods and Shake It Off. Like 2 months. And I remember specifically, I was on vacation in Vietnam with my parents and Out of the Woods came out And Taylor had followed me on Tumblr and I was trying to get her attention. So I was reblogging myself over and over and I was listening to Out of the Woods and I just thought it was the greatest thing I ever heard. I remember just playing it over and over again in like a cab ride on the way home from a restaurant at night and just being like, I've never heard Taylor like this before, specifically with Out of the Woods. And it was that bridge that really made me go, huh? It was crazy. It was crazy. All You Had to Do Was Stay. She Is the Moment. One of my day one favorites from 1989. This song is everything. It is much sadder than it appears. It is a moment on 1989 that adds a lot of depth and texture, and it sounds so pugnacious. It's kind of a little Avril Lavigne in a way, and I love how it came to her in a dream. The Stay part came to her in a dream, and I love the story. It's one of my favorite songs. That's where it belongs. Shake It Off, absolute banger. What else can it be? Weddings, birthdays, graduations, funerals. I Wish You Would. She Is the Moment. That's one of my personal favorites. It's my Shayla. I Wish You Would is my Shayla. When this came out, I was like, there's no way this is real. It can't be real. She's a rapper. Where did this come from? Who is she? And I remember hearing this after hearing Out of the Woods and was like, oh, like when I listened to the album in full for the first time and realized that those were the two Jack Antonoff productions, I was like, this Mr. Antonoff guy, huh? There's a little something there. He's got something interesting. He's in different areas. Bad Blood, respectable bop. There was a time, Bad Blood was one of my favorite songs from 1989 when I first heard the record. I was just dying for an Avril Lavigne moment. And Bad Blood is an Avril Lavigne moment. There's a lot of Avril Lavigne moments in Taylor Swift's discography if you really think about it. Wildest Dreams, absolute banger, respectable bop. I'm gonna put her in respectable bop. I was obsessed with it when it came out, like most people were, but the production on it kind of PMO. I much prefer the radio edit that has drums in it. I don't think that one, of all the songs on 1989, the production could have been better. Also, Lana Del Rey, Without You, ripoff mentioned. How You Get the Girl, she's a cute girl. She's a respectable bop. This Love, I don't know her. I don't care. I Know Places, there was a time where I would have said, I don't know her, but the Taylor's version was so good that it made me go, you're safe from execution today. So we're not gonna kill her. We're just gonna put her in I Don't Know Her. And that's a great improvement from where she's been in the past. Clean. Clean was very important to me when I was 18. I needed it, but then I stopped needing it. Clean, respectable bop. This is so hard. Yeah, I'm just gonna put it in respectable bop. Wonderland, absolute banger. Wonderland Taylor's version really upped the ante. This song is crazy. The fact that all of the 1989 bonus tracks are so good, they should have just been on the original version of the album. Never happened before, never happened since with bonus tracks. You Are in Love, absolute banger. This song is actually so beautiful. And it's Taylor being a witness, bearing witness to someone else's love and being like, I want that. And I know that it'll be mine one day. It will be my turn. And the best part of the song is when she goes, now you know why I've spent my whole life trying to put it into words. Her whole project in life is to articulate the feeling that her best friend Lena Dunham mentioned was describing to her when she was telling her about her relationship with Jack. I think that to be a true hopeless romantic, you love all kinds of love. You love other people's love. It feels like almost your love because you're so enamored by it. Couldn't be me. That's not my personal journey, but I think that it's one of the most endearing facets of Taylor's personality. And one of her biggest strengths as a songwriter is that she's so deeply curious about love and all the different forms and shapes that it can take. And she has this fundamental understanding that every relationship and experience of love is different. They're all completely different. No two are alike. Beautiful. New Romantics. She Is the Moment. Okay, when I moved to New York and I was hitting the clubs with my fake ID and taking shots of my friends at LeBain in the meatpacking district, yeah, we cry tears of mascara in the bathroom. Honey, life is just a classroom. We were the New Romantics. What can I say? What can I say? Slut. It's okay. Underwhelming. I don't revisit. It's slinky. It's sexy, but I'm not interested. Say Don't Go. I don't know her. I really never listened to this. I don't care. Now That We Don't Talk, absolute banger. So close to being in She Is the Moment. Actually, I kind of want to put her in She Is the Moment. Again, the lorification of it all. This has slowly become one of my favorite songs from 1989, period. The fact that it has climbed so far up my list and it is like a 2.5 minute song. If you can find the original demo, you should listen to it. It's the biggest botch in the history of the world. But I just wish that they'd finished the song. I wish that they'd taken the time and finished it. It was a little bit too sad, I want to say, for the original version of 1989. Again, the Taylor's version tracks, the vault tracks are so interesting because they show us what was excised from the perspective what was hanging around in the peripheral vision of 1989. And now that we don't talk, and is it over now? Were the suspects. They were like, that's a little too sad. We're supposed to be girl bossing. We're supposed to be saying, I could build a castle out of all the bricks they threw at me, not I want to jump off a building, which is what Is It Over Now is saying. And beautiful song, lore heavy. You know why I love that song. That's a song for a diehard Swiftie like me. And there was a time when it was in my top 10 Taylor Swift songs of all time. And I'm not ruling it out. I listen to it constantly. The hook, let's fast forward to 300 takeout coffees later. It's just so delicious. I don't know how else to describe it. Suburban Legends, I want to kill her. Can I be honest? Not interested. Corny, weird. All right, now we are at Reputation. Now, Tyler told me that I put Ready For It in Respectable Bop, and he wants me to go to jail for that. And he's right. It should be an absolute banger at the very minimum. It's not in She Is The Moment because it's not in my personal canon, but it is one of the greatest songs ever made. It is, and I think I needed to hear it again on the Eras Tour to reignite that love. I think I was always a little bit pissed off about the music video, which is so stupid, but I'm stupid. Ready For It? Kind of another song where there's nothing like it in her discography. She could never do it again. Elizabeth Taylor is kind of like her cousin, but they're not sisters. You know, they're not directly related by blood in that way. Endgame featuring Ed Sheeran. It's okay. I actually wouldn't put it in I Don't Know Her because I think that Taylor's verse gagged me so bad at the secret session mentioned that I have to give it a bone. I Did Something Bad. Respectable bop. I think it's a little corny now. They're burning all the witches, even if you aren't one. It's okay to be a witch. Why can't we all be witches? Voodoo, as Lana Del Rey would say. I'll put I Did Something Bad there. It gagged me at the time. The first time she ever swore on a song, you better believe my mouth was on the floor in her house. Don't blame me. I don't know her. I don't love this song, girls. I never have. That hasn't changed. Eras Tour didn't really help it. I really think that Don't Blame Me is one of the most overrated songs in Taylor Swift's catalog. It's just kind of average. The songwriting isn't like particularly specific or interesting. The vocals go crazy, sure, but I don't know. Not a favorite of mine. Delicate. Respectable bop, I think. Dive bar on the east side, where are you at? The way this video is just devolving into me doing monologues of Taylor Swift lyrics. Great. I hope you like that. Delicate. She's a moment. I'll let her have a moment. Look What You Made Me Do. Now she is the moment. That's the first single that's there. Is it the first real proper like single that's in my list? First lead single, yeah. Look What You Made Me Do. Oh my God, it's just too delicious. It was a cultural reset. As a Scorpio, I felt as though this was made for me. Reputation in general was kind of made for me and my personality. And so Look What You Made Me Do is just, I'm always in a place of honey, I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. The Renee rap stands want me dead, but I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. You see how that works over and over again. Who name, insert stand base, insert celebrity. They're mad at me, and so I rose up from the dead, I do it all the time. There you go. Just when you think I'm canceled. Good thing I like my ologists canceled. So it goes. Absolute banger or She Is The Moment. I don't have as strong a personal connection as I do to another I Wanna Fuck My Boyfriend song that she has here, but So It Goes really is fantastic. Scratches Down Your Back, one of her most sexy sexual songs. Very enigmatic, so Reputation coded. Sonically, it's one of the most Reputation songs on the record. Gorgeous. People are unnecessarily mean and rude about Gorgeous. I can't tell you why that I don't find this song corny. You think that I would. When you look at all my other I Wanna Kill Her songs, Mary's Song, Perfectly Good Heart, We Were Happy, Superman. Gorgeous is kind of cringe, but it's not that cringe to me. It's also a weird song. It's constructed strangely. It doesn't really have a contemporary in her discography. It's talk singing. It's that melodic rap sing she was doing for a while. I find Gorgeous to be very endearing and cute. I like it. I think that it's fun. And sometimes I just want to have fun. Okay, girls just want to have fun. Getaway Car, absolute banger. Absolute banger. Didn't stand out to me at the secret session. Don't know why. For a long time, I was like 1989 cast off. And it kind of is, but I'm okay with that because it's one of the greatest songs ever made. King of My Heart, I don't know her. I'm not going to put it in I Want to Kill Her because it has softened on me over the years. I won't immediately turn it off, but I'm not listening all the way through. Dancing with Our Hands Tied, it's okay. I much prefer the acoustic version. So I'm going to put the full womp, womp, womp. That kind of dates it a little bit to me. But there's also something kind of cunt about it. I like running to that song. Dress, One of my favorite Taylor Swift songs of all time. Don't even get me started. When I hear Dress, I am immediately transported to when I lived in the financial district in New York City in like 2018, 2019. This is when I was outside all the time. Oh, it never gets cold. Because in New York, when you want to go to clubs and stuff, you have to line up on the street, girls. And like when it's November or December and it's -5 degrees, you're standing outside in your hoe clothes on the street waiting to get into the club. And then you stumble home drunk on the cobblestones in the financial district near the water where it's freezing cold, the wind is whipping your face, your scarf is blowing everywhere, and you're listening to Dress. Not everybody can have that experience, only I can. And it's also one of the sexiest songs ever. I would always play that song when I would go on a date to like put me in a good mood. This is why we can't have nice things. It's okay. Verging on I Don't Know Her. Now, if there's any song that's gotten a little bit cringe to me over time, I do love Here's to My Mom. I had to listen to all this drama. That's funny. But the rest of it, it's a little bit like, we get it. We got it. We've been knowing it. Call It What You Want. Absolute banger. I love Call It What You Want. Always have, always will. I famously said after the Secret Session that it was a sassy bop before it came out. Clearly, I forgot what I heard and I was just trying to flex that I knew something. But you know what? I stand by that. I want to wear his initial on a chain around my neck, not because he owns me, because he really knows me. That's a sassy bop behavior. Thank you. Call It What You Want, underrated. I'm saying it. Also, I love the Reputation performance. Sue me. New Year's Day, I Want to Kill Her. I hate the song. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate this song. It was really hard to fix my face in front of her and not go, boo. Not for me. Especially when everybody was fake crying. Terrible. I Forgot That You Existed. I Don't Know Her. I really don't hate this song. I don't think it's that bad. It doesn't really have a crime. Its biggest crime is being boring. Yeah. Cruel Summer. Hello. She Is the Moment. I will forever associate it with Lover. Summer was actually a great summer for me. I moved back to New York after going back to Singapore for a bit. And I moved into Brooklyn, different vibe, different scene. I moved in with three other guys. I'd never lived with all men before. That went horribly, but I was very optimistic about it at the time. And we were all getting to know each other, having like rooftop parties, mingling with all of our friends, having little barbecues. And yeah, I wanted to hear Cruel Summer when that was happening. It was a cruel summer. Did I kind of fall in love with one of my roommates and did that end horrifically for him? It did, but I'm cheering. Lover, the song. It's okay. I never really liked Lover. It's a little bit too schmaltzy for me. I understand it's a great song. It's just not for me. The Man, respectable bop. At one point in my life, I would have said this was cringe, but you know what? The Eras Tour really turned me on to The Man. And every day, every minute that passes, it becomes more pressing and relevant. The Archer, I Don't Know Her. I Don't Know Her. I'm not interested. The second verse is beautiful. Everything else about it, PMO. I Think He Knows, She Is the Moment. Again, it reminds me of the roommate. It does remind me of the roommate and what transpired, but this song is so infectious. It'll put a smile on your face, even with the darkest specter of an evil past love in your mind. It can do many things. I Think He Knows could fix the world, I think. Miss Americana and the Heartbreak Prince. It's okay. Yeah, I have no strong feelings about it. It has the potential to be a really embarrassing song, but thankfully, other songs on this album do that for it instead. Paper Rings, I Want to Kill Her. I hate the song. This is one of those songs, it's earblood to me. As soon as it comes on, skip, I can't, I hate it. It's not even really, like, I can't give you an articulate reason why I don't like it. It's just not to my taste. And that's my opinion. And you have to respect it. Cornelia Street, it's okay. The production kind of ruins Cornelia Street for me. I much prefer the acoustic version. We didn't need to Jack Antonoff that. We didn't. Death by a Thousand Cuts, ow! She Is the Moment. Three Lover songs in She Is the Moment and only two Reputation. That's interesting behavior for me. Okay, London Boy. It would be ridiculous of me to put it in She Is the Moment, but I'm putting it in She Is the Moment because I fucking love this song. I love this song. This is like Today Was a Fairy Tale to me. It's so endearing. It's so charming. I'm sure many of you are going, how the hell are you cringing at Paper Rings and cheering harder than you've ever cheered before for London Boy? It takes a special mental illness that only I have, okay? Get it? Next. Soon You'll Get Better. Oh my God. Impossible to rank, but I'm putting it in absolute banger. Please don't get me wrong. It is not a banger, but I think this is one of her most beautiful songs she's ever written in the history of the world. And it is even more devastating when you know the context behind it. We don't talk about this song very much. I think out of respect, But I think that we can respectfully say what a gorgeously written song it is. And I think that, like, the Chicks doing backing vocals, the country element coming back. Taylor had been long removed from country at this point. It had been a few albums with no country mementos whatsoever. And this was a real highlight and redeeming moment of Lover. It adds a level of depth to it that The Life of a Showgirl doesn't quite have. False God. Ooh, we love False God. Banger. Banger. Sexy. Mysterious. Another one of my sneak around songs from that summer. Love it. You need to calm down. I don't know her. I don't want to kill her because she's kind of funny. I can laugh. You know what I can't laugh at? Me. There's no laughing. I'm not chuckling. I've never smiled a day in my life when Me comes on. Nope. That just... Me really should be on The Life of a Showgirl. That just came to me like a vision. It would fit in perfectly. Silence from me. Afterglow. It's okay. Afterglow is interesting as a concept to me. And there is something pretty about it, but the verses are kind of slow. It's nice to have a friend. I don't know her. I've never cared for this song. Some people get a lot from it. I get nothing from it. Daylight, I want to kill her, and All the Girls You Loved Before. Ooh, I want to kill her bad with my bare hands. Those two songs are dead. If you want to see my reasons for why I don't like any of these songs in specific, go to my ranking and reshuffling videos. I give, I think, pretty detailed explanations of why I think they're bad, but we're just not interested in that. Now we're at Folklore. Oh my God, we still have like 4 albums to go. Can you believe it? The One. She is the moment. To me, I will never be able to disassociate the first chiming piano chords of The One. I can't detangle that from the pandemic and like what was happening in the world and in my life at that time. And Folklore was such a needed balm for my soul. I needed somewhere to escape to. And the only place that could have really brought me solace at that moment was a new Taylor Swift album. And so this came right on time, baby, right on time. And you can see me having the realization in my Folklore reaction video. That's where it all started. That's where Swiftologist basically started. So there's a lot to love about The One. Cardigan, it's okay. I've always thought Cardigan was kind of shoddily constructed. It really takes off in the back half of the song. It becomes very beautiful. I love the last kind of sequence. I knew you'd linger like a tattooed kiss. Ooh, beautiful. But ultimately, irrelevant. And you know, with the Maddie Healy inclinations, I'm not listening anymore. The Last Great American Dynasty, absolute banger. I mean, one of her best written songs ever. I can't really say anything bad about that. Exile, it's okay. Verging on I Don't Know Her. And you know what's so weird is that was my favorite song from Folklore for a long time when it first came out. Exile and This Is Me Trying were my favorite songs. I think that's just because of where I was mentally at the time. Yeah. I think we were all in a bit of an exile. This Is Me Trying moment. My Tears Ricochet. She is the moment. This is potentially the most upsetting song in Taylor Swift's entire discography, famously covered in our most recent Sister Songs episode, which you must listen to. I'm really proud of that one. I think we cooked. We really came up with a lot of great connections there. And yeah, My Tears Ricochet is one of the most profound songs. It is the beating heart of Folklore, I would say, because Folklore comes from being at the bottom of everything. The world has imploded and you've had it. You're at your wit's end. All you can do is look at how your tears ricochet. And again, gave us a lot of context and lore. Great. Mirrorball. She is the moment. Yeah, that's a pandemic song. We all felt like mirrorballs then when you had to get on Zoom and pretend you were happy. Zoom happy hour. Remember that? Ah! Terrible. I was mirrorball on Zoom happy hour. Seven. You know what? She is the moment. I have to put her there. I don't listen to her or revisit her very often, but like, I relate so much to the little girl that she's narrating in that song. I felt like I too had quite an interior, watchful, brave perception of the world, naive when I was younger. She's just rendered it so beautifully and mysteriously there. And you know, some say there's a gay element to it. So that wouldn't be off the mark for me, noted gay person. August, I hated it for a long time. I think I just found it annoying how everybody was focusing on it. But you know, respectable bop. Back when we were still changing for the better. Wanting was enough. For me, it was enough. Meet Me Behind the Mall. I didn't get Meet Me Behind the Mall when I first heard it, but now I do. And so that's changed things. So it's in respectable bop. Congratulations, August. You've had a promotion. This Is Me Trying has had a demotion. It's okay. It's a beautiful song. Don't get me wrong. But in the personal Swiftologist canon, I'm not streaming. Illicit Affairs, made a lot better by the Eras Tour version. This was another song I was obsessed with when this album first came out. I'm going to put it in respectable bop. That's where I think it belongs. Invisible String. Respectable bop. Cold was the steel of my axe to grind for the boys that broke my heart. Now I send their babies presents. There's something to that that many people wouldn't understand, but I do. And it's unfortunate that we've had to forget about this song because of who it's about, but that's not my vibe. I would never let a man ruin a Taylor Swift song for me, unless it's a man in my actual life. And even then, he's still not ruining it for me. You see how I'm still streaming, I think he knows? It doesn't matter. Men should never have anything to do with your relationship with Taylor Swift. And if they do, you lost. You're dumb. Get over it. Mad woman. It's okay. Essential part of the lore, I don't return. Epiphany, I want to kill her. I hate that song. Betty, respectable bop. Not much to say about Betty these days. Peace, respectable bop. Hoax, also respectable bop. Not absolute bangers, I can't put them there. The Lakes, now that's an absolute banger. That's an absolute banger. That's one of the songs that I felt I could really relate to, because The Lakes is about wanting to go somewhere where you can be with your love. But in my mind, it was really more about my love of writing, my love of being creative, which she also does address here, as well as her romantic love. A great example of a composite sketch. Now, Evermore. Willow. Willow never really did it for me like that, but it did it for me on the Eras Tour. I'm going to put it in It's Okay. Champagne Problems. I don't know her. I don't think I want to kill her, but I definitely don't know her. Gold Rush. Ooh, respectable bop or banger. 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 I remember hearing it and being like, we needed a beat. We needed a beat. Thank you for bringing it. Also, Gold Rush is so intense and orchestral and cinematic. Evermore, it was in different areas. Tis the damn season. She is the moment. Oh my God. Tis the damn season. Tis the damn season. Tis the damn season. Again, with the melancholy and the nostalgia and the faded doom. It's beautiful. It's really one of the most stunning songs in her entire catalog. Tolerate it. She is the moment. I was broken down to my lowest point, and then I was broken down again even further, and I liked it. Yeah. I was broken down by Taylor Swift, and I liked it. The taste of her cherry chapstick. Nobody, no crime. I don't know her. I never think about her. She never occurs to me. I have no feelings about her. Happiness. It's okay. I would have, I think at one point, said I didn't like it, but it has some beautiful lyrics, and it's literally, I'm going to divorce Joe. So we needed to hear that. Dorothea, I want to kill her. I hate the song. I have it blocked on Spotify. This is never getting played in my ears. I hate the way it sounds. It's not a rational dislike. It's just a, this scratches my ear incorrectly. Coney Island, I don't know her. I don't know her, and I don't care about her. Ivy! Oh my God, Ivy, seriously, that last chorus, it's the fight of my goddamn life, and you started it. You started it. Just this, if I had to pick a song that like epitomized the difference between Evermore and Folklore, and for me, the difference is depth of skill, depth of songwriting, intricacy of narrative, Ivy is the song that I would pick. As a writer, one of my favorite things from her ever, Cowboy Like Me, this is a song for gay men. It is. I know Taylor Swift is for the girls. I agree. 89.9% of the time, but sometimes it's for the gay men specifically. And Cowboy Like Me is a song for the gay men. Also just a beautiful feat of writing. I always give this as an example of her best writing. She opens up with an image that is kind of confusing, but directly situates you in her position. And the tennis court was covered up with some tent-like thing. Just sit with that for a minute. Long story short, it's okay. I got disproportionately excited about it because it had a beat. Marjorie, I'm respectable bop because the Eras Tour really changed my mind about that. When I saw what it meant to hear it performed live in that way, on that scale, it became more important to me. Closure, I don't know her. I don't care about her. Evermore title track, respectable bop or absolute banger? Am I being strict? I'm being strict. No, yeah, absolute banger. I'm gonna put her there because I love it. I love the way it falls apart and comes back together sonically. I don't know what that's called as a musical experience, but it happens in the song and I like it. Right Where You Left Me, oh my God, 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 9/11. One of the best songs ever made. Again, this is another Taylor Swift song that speaks to my soul. Like if we're talking about the songs here that are me, we've got Enchanted, we've got Dress, we've got Holy Ground, and we've got Right Where You Left Me, and another song coming up soon. Yeah. It's not every Taylor song that I love, I feel like I really relate to, but Right Where You Left Me is one of those songs. And it also really just harkens back to Red. I so clearly see Red era Taylor there that It's an intertextual moment. I love it. It's Time to Go has grown on me so much. I actually love this song right now, so I'm putting it in Respectable Bop. Yeah, that's right. Lavender Haze. It's okay. I went through my moment with it. It was fun at the Eras Tour. Maroon? Respectable Bop. I was going through a phase of Maroon recently. When was it? I think it was in Australia. I was listening to Maroon a lot. Maroon is like Melbourne coded. Yeah, I'll say that. Antihero, It's Okay. A disappointing showing from a big first single. Doesn't have the punch of a We Are Never, a Shake It Off, or Look What You Made Me Do. Snow on the Beach featuring Lana Del Rey. Now, is this, okay, I see there isn't a separate version for featuring more Lana Del Rey. So if it was the featuring more Lana Del Rey version, it's going into absolute banger. I love that song. When I first heard it, that was a catastrophe. I can't call it anything else other than a complete and total disappointment and disgrace because Lana's voice was barely on it, but Taylor heard us and she fixed it. And the subsequent version is so beautiful. I love it. I listen to it all the time. And she even changed the production too. She made it more twinkly. She made it sound more like there was snow on the beach. And that was an important moment for me. You're On Your Own, Kid. Oh my God. She is the moment. That's another me song. Me, my personality, me, my life, me, Zachary, the Swiftologist. One of the most important Taylor Swift lyrics in my life is, you've got no reason to be afraid. I find so much comfort and solace in hearing Taylor Swift tell me that, and I know that it's true. I know that I have no reason to be afraid. And when I listen to You're On Your Own, Kid, I remember that about myself. I am brave, and I've got no reason to be afraid. Thank you. Midnight Rain. She's a moment. I have to. Midnight Rain was one of the standouts from my first listen. And Midnight Rain also has a little bit of me in there. I also can change like Midnight Rain. You guys wouldn't know about that. It's none of your business, but it's true. So Midnight Rain, is there a question? There is a time where I would have put question in She Is the Moment, but I fear it is a completely unique experience. I fear that question is an experience only she has had and understands, and this song is in parcel tongue. So many people think they cracked the code on what exactly it's about. I'm telling you, you haven't, and you never will. You won't. Vigilante shit, I don't know her. Mm-mm. Bejeweled? Respectable Bop. Best Believe I'm Still Bejeweled. Well, yes. Labyrinth, I want to kill her. I hate this song. Papa, I hate this song. So stupid, whiny, irritating. Karma? Now this is an absolute banger. That really should have been the lead single from Midnights when I think about it. Karma is my boyfriend and my God and the breeze in my hair on the weekend. I am always so shocked when people point to Karma as a cat purring in my lap because he loves me as like an example of bad Taylor Swift lyricism. That's so funny to me. I think people just don't get her sometimes. Sometimes her sense of humor is like not, it just goes over people's heads. But then also sometimes she does millennial cringe, which makes it more difficult to tell when she's actually being funny versus when she's being cringe. I get it. But this isn't one of those times. I told you. Sweet Nothing has grown on me a lot. I'm going to put it in Respectable Bop. I think I would have literally said this song was nothing when it first came out. But like this song is different to me whenever I hear it. It's happy, it's sad, it's happy, it's sad. And that's a quality that I really like in a Taylor Swift song. Mastermind, the only person at the Eras Tour that went like 100. It was like Cruel Summer was playing when Mastermind was playing and I was in the audience. Absolute banger. Do I want to put it in She Is the Moment? I do, but I'm being a little bit more strict. I'm really going with emotional connection and that bridge. I don't know. I don't really resonate with the feeling of wanting to be a people pleaser. If you can believe it, that's a sensation that has never occurred to me. I have never wanted to please other people for the sake of it. Seeking approval from others? Not my vibe. So I like Mastermind in the sense that it's a plotting song. It's about scheming and planning. But when it comes to scheming and planning because I want to be liked desperately by everyone, can't relate. That's where I stop relating. So I can't put it there. The Great War, it's okay. I feel no type of way. Bigger Than the Whole Sky, I don't know her. Sorry. Paris, I also kind of don't know her. High Infidelity, I want to kill her. I feel like one day someone's going to be able to articulate why I don't like the songs that are in this category. They're going to explain a musical reason why, and it's going to click to me. But for now, it's a mystery. Glitch, it's okay. It's interesting. Would have, could have, should have. Oh my God. Absolute banger. I'm putting it there because I feel like I need to respect the girls of this world. Would have, could have, should have is for the girls. And I think it would be stolen valor to put that in my personal She Is the Moment, but it is one of the most affecting, terrifying, beautiful songs she's ever written. So I salute you. Dear Reader, She Is the Moment. Dear Reader is me. Okay? Dear Reader is me. I actually don't wish to elaborate further. I don't wish, I'm not saying anything else. That's it. It's different. Can I speak my truth? It's okay. I don't really like It's Different that much. I don't really cheer for it like that. I think the bridge is kind of stupid. You're losing me? Oh my God. Now, I can't put it in She Is the Moment, but I will put it in Absolute Banger because this song gave us something that we really needed. This was the first clue that Midnights was an ever-evolving puzzle, and it was a breathing album that was not yet concluded despite already being released. What a fascinating time to be a Taylor Swift fan. Filled in a lot of blanks. I feel like I don't need any more information about what transpired in that relationship from that one song alone and all the context that we had before it. Period. Fortnite featuring Post Malone. Respectable bop. Yeah, I've done a complete 180 on Fortnite. I get the vibe. I saw Wuthering Heights and it changed it for me. It did. It's a vibe song. It's not really a Tortured Poets song, but it's kind of a Tortured Poets intro. Bonnie from Chats and Reacts has a good take on what Fortnite is, and she was winning me over on stage. So patreon.com/tortologist, buy the show and you can see what she's talking about. The Tortured Poets Department title track. I'm between It's Okay and Respectable Bop. I'm gonna put it in It's Okay because tattooed golden retriever. I would never describe a rat in that way. My boy only breaks his favorite toys. Respectable bop. Not a standout from Tortured Poets for me. No, one of the more upbeat moments, but not one of my favorites. Down bad. Oh my God. She Is the Moment. Now I'm down bad crying at the gym. If I'm ever going to be down bad, it's going to be at the gym. That's where I'm going to go to work it out on the remix with myself or on a run. Yeah, I'm going through it when I'm exercising. So I love to hear that. I also think the extended metaphor of getting abducted is just so absurd, but done in such a like that song could be so ridiculous and it doesn't sound ridiculous. It is heartbreaking. Like I lost my twin. Ouch. Painful. Soulmate. So Long London. Oh, absolute banger. Where else is that gonna go? Tortured Poets. But Daddy, I Love Him. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. She Is the Moment. That is when I knew that she was still in there. That old Taylor. Oh. She came to the phone in that moment. And the defiance on that song is what I very first resonated with about Taylor Swift. Like, what really made me start standing was her, I don't care what you think, I'm gonna do what I wanna do, which is like sometimes true and sometimes not true, but expressed beautifully here. Fresh out the slammer, oh my God. We're going off of things I can relate to. So where does Fresh Out the Slammer go? I don't think I'm one to stick around in a situation that is making me suffer for as long as Taylor Swift would. So, but I love this song. This is another song like State of Grace. There's just kind of nothing like it in her catalog. Florida. I don't know her. She's fine. I'm not going to kill her. She can stay. Guilty as Sin. Oh my gosh. She Is the Moment. Now, I just said I'm not someone to linger, but I am someone to wonder and to astral project and to do maladaptive daydreaming, which is exactly what Guilty as Sin is. Beautiful, amazing, gorgeous, never been done before. Who's afraid of little old me? It's okay. No strong feelings. I can fix him. I don't know her. I don't care about her. LOML, oh my God, absolute banger. In one of the most devastating personal ways. Oh wow, that sucks to listen to. It hurts. I can do it with a broken heart. It's okay. Yeah, the smallest man who ever lived. It's okay. The production kind of lets it down for me, but there are several jaw-dropping moments. I also don't like some of the stuff she reveals on this song. I think she kind of crosses a line here with the disclosure. I've talked about that before, so I won't get into it now. The Alchemy, it's okay. She's cute. When it comes on, I'm woo. Clara Bow, Respectable Bop. Respectable Bop, if the prophecy didn't exist, absolute banger. But because the prophecy exists and fills in a couple of blanks, I'm putting it in Respectable Bop. The Black Dog, oh my God. You know, I forgot how much I love this song. And then I heard it in a TikTok edit the other day and I was like, wait, I love this song. And this song really, really gripped me when I heard the anthology for the first time. So I'm putting it in Absolute Banger. It's just beautiful and heartbreaking. I'm Gonna Get You Back. She Is the Moment. That's a Swiftologist song. That's a Swiftologist song. That's the Scorpio way. That's our anthem. I'm Gonna Get You Back. Whether I'm gonna be your wife or smash up your bike. We don't know. The Albatross, I kind of don't know her. That song's kind of started to irritate me over time. And it was my surprise song. And I remember getting it and nobody moved, including me. Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus. Another song where there is just nothing like it in her discography. Totally singular, completely devastating. Absolute banger. How did it end? I'm going to put it in respectable bop because it has risen a lot for me. I hated this song. The D-Y-I-N-G, I just thought it was absurd, but guess who we ran into at the shop, wandering in circles like she was lost. There's something so Wuthering Heights and melodramatic about it. Wuthering Heights has done wonders for the Tortured Poets B-sides that I didn't care for. So high school. I don't know her. I don't really care about her. I hate it here. If there was one song, if you could only allow me to pick one song to describe myself as, and it was a Taylor Swift song, it's I Hate It Here. I have been waiting for a song like this for years. She's sung about it indirectly in many of the songs we talked about today, but her creativity, her mind, and her inner life, and the relationship that she has with her own need to create and to write, it being the lifeboat that carries her through life more than anything else, having a secret place that's only for you, that only you can attend, that is much more beautiful than the real world that you can go to whenever you want because it's just yours. The power of that. I relate to it. I relate to it so much. I love that song. It can bring me to tears. Thank you, Amy. I want to kill her. We don't like that. I look in people's windows. You know what? Respectable bop. It's actually a very good song. I just don't listen to it very much. The Prophecy. Absolute banger. Again, I can't really relate to this song per se, but I love how Taylor relates to it. And I love the fact that she came up with this. Cassandra, I don't know her. Peter, I want to kill her. I hate that song. The Bolter has grown on me. Respectable bop. I think there's some good storytelling going on. It's very Evermore coded. Robin, I want to kill her. Sorry to Aaron Dessner's baby, but I'm not interested. The Manuscript, also grown on me. I'm going to put it in respectable bop. Yeah, that seems just about right to me. Now we're at The Life of a Showgirl. The Fate of Ophelia. It's okay. It's okay. Elizabeth Taylor, absolute banger. Yes. Well, yes, I will put Elizabeth Taylor in absolute banger. Opalite, it's okay. Father Figure, absolute banger. Yep. Yep. Eldest Daughter, I want to kill her. Don't even talk to me about that song. Ruin the Friendship, absolute banger. But maybe She Is the Moment. I do have a personal connection to this song. It's sad, though. But it is a personal connection and it does make The Life of a Showgirl a profoundly different experience for me in a good way because there's something to hold on to. So I'm going to put it in She Is the Moment for now, but I don't know that she's going to stay there. Let's return. Actually, Romantic, I don't know her. I don't want to know her. I don't want to know her to kill her. Wishlist, I don't know her. Fat ass and a bit, I don't know her. Wood, you know where she's going. Canceled, you know where she's going. Honey, absolute banger. Yeah, that's right. I love Honey. It's weird though. It's not quite right. The Life of a Showgirl. Oh, absolute banger. That has really grown on me a lot. I'm really vibing and jiving with that song at this very moment. So there you have it. I think I'm going to pull Ruin the Friendship down to She Is the Moment because I don't think anything from Showgirl enters my personal canon. I just feel disconnected from the era in a way where I cannot hitch my wagon to it like that yet. Although Ruin the Friendship is close, but still. All right, what do we have left? We have all the kind of nothings. Last Christmas, I'm not gonna rank her covers of stuff, okay? Beautiful Eyes, I don't care. I don't know her. I Heart question mark, absolute banger. I went to school, I went to eighth grade with a question mark on my hand and everybody said, what does that mean? And I said, you don't need to know. It's none of your business. Unfortunately, because I'm not ambidextrous, I couldn't do a question mark and a 13 on my hand, so I would have to choose. I often chose the 13, but to mix it up, I would do the question mark, and nobody ever knew what I was talking about. Crazier, I think Crazier is overrated. She's a cute girl, but I'm gonna put her in It's Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna put her in It's Okay. Safe and Sound, respectable bop. Eyes Open is also going into, okay, if I'm putting Eyes Open into respectable bop, Crazier also has to go up there. Let me not be crazier. Let me be normaler and do that. Sweeter Than Fiction, It's Okay. It was the beginning, the birth of the Jack Antonoff collaboration, so we have to cheer for that. I Don't Want to Live Forever. I'm putting that in respectable bop. Yeah, even though I booed and tomatoed at the Eras Tour, it was like the bridge between 1989 and Reputation. I really consider it to be part of that. Renegade, I love this song. I love the song, absolute banger. I think it's a great song. I think it's beautiful. It's like an Evermore outtake. Birch, I don't know her. Carolina, I don't know her. The Alcott, I don't know her. Mm-hmm. That's it. I think that's a great selection. I think that I'm the smartest person in the world and I have the best taste ever. It's really weird to see like my favorite Taylor Swift songs just laid out like that. But again, this isn't even really like my most listened to favorites. It's what I relate to the most. I'm doing it in a different way. Now let's go look at what I originally said in my ranking and gag at how things have changed. So 4 years ago, I said Teardrops on My Guitar, our song, check, check. I didn't have The Outside. And I put Christmas Is When You Were Mine. What were you thinking, Swiftologist? Actually, I know exactly what you were thinking. Carry on. He said, Love Story, You Belong With Me, Breathe, Tell Me Why, and Forever and Always. That's interesting because I have Fearless, Hey Steven. Where is Hey Steven on my list? Hey Steven is in It's Okay. Are you okay? Are you okay, Swiftologist 2021? What's wrong with you? You're sick. No, this is demented. What's wrong with you? Idiot, 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 tomato. Tell Me Why at least made it Forever and Always. Yup. Okay, that's up there. Where's Today Was a Fairy Tale? 22? And She Is the Moment? Sir. 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 That's crazy, sir. That's crazy. That's simply crazy. I also put Begin Again and Holy Ground, which check, check. I did the same thing here. I did put Blank Space there. Okay. Why? We'll never know because I'll never watch this video back. I put Wildest Dreams there too. Oh, Wildest Dreams fell off in this ranking. Oops. Style, All You Have to Do Is Stay. Shake It Off. I didn't have Is It Over Now yet. You see, I didn't know. I didn't know the gospel. Where did I put Welcome to New York? In a place of hateration, probably. Idiot. Idiot, idiot, idiot. Oh, I put Getaway Car up there. Look What You Made Me Do and Dress have been a consistent lock. They stayed because I'm a genius. Cruel Summer and Death by a Thousand Cuts. Yes, I also let in I Think He Knows. Oh, I put Soon You'll Get Better up there. Okay, was I going for like, what are her objective best songs that I like rather than what I relate to? I think I was. The One and Cardigan. Cardigan in She Is the Moment. Okay, this is someone that just heard Folklore yesterday, basically. The Last Great American Dynasty, My Tears Ricochet, Mirrorball, and Seven. Okay, well, My Tears Ricochet, Mirrorball, and Seven mentioned Cardigan. When did I ever really like Cardigan like that? I have no memory of this. I put Betty up there too. Are you good, sir? Gold Rush and Tis the Damn Season and Tolerate It up top. Okay, that's weird. Where's Right Where You Left Me? Where's Cowboy Like Me? So basically what I've ascertained from comparing and contrasting is that I was insane and you should never listen to me ever. I hope that that's a good takeaway for you from this video. Don't forget that if you want to go stream my videos on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can. And evolutionofsnake.com for tickets to the Showgirl Experience. Okay, goodbye.